Welcome back to another episode of Sling and Quack. I'm Rusty, joined by our special guest, who is now pretty much, I don't know why you're a guest, you're pretty much the only person now that comes on the podcast.
Well, just want to induct me now, or how does this work? Do I sign anything?
No, SB Nation is pretty much you just show up. It's like the most, no. It's like a pickup basketball game. But first we just have to make sure you're not a dick.
I don't know. Read in the comment section.
Well, that's readers. That's readers. It's different.
Fair enough.
Yeah, things get a little feisty in the comment section, but that's we're gonna get to that later. Oregon basketball is on a tear right now. 14-2 on the year. 3-0 in conference. With a couple huge wins. One over UCLA. That was monstrous.
That one was ridiculous.
Oh, wait. Sorry. I'm wrong. I was looking at an old box score. 16-2, 5-0 in conference. Totally different. So, yeah, I mean, opening loss was to Baylor.
Who, by the way, as of last week, was ranked number one in the country before they just completely fell over and tripped over themselves against West Virginia. At the time when we lost to Baylor, that was a really bad loss, considering we were top five in the country and they were unranked. But, man, have they turned it around. So that's looking pretty good.
Right. Lost to Georgetown. Still not good.
Yeah, that one's not great. But ever since we hit Pac-12 play, we have been on a tear. I mean, you look at the last three games. Washington State was a difficult one, especially missing Dylan Brooks for, what, three quarters of the game because the refs thought he went Draymond on him. But we beat the hell out of Washington, which is just oh so welcome after last football season. And then, what descriptive word would you use for the Civil War?
Abysmal.
That's
not my first pick either, but that's what's appropriate-ish.
I just watched the Civil War, and it was like it was like an Alabama offensive line going against some fifth graders. It was real bad. I mean, we started out, what, on a 21-0 run? Something like that?
Yeah. And that still wasn't covering the spread, as you pointed out.
Yeah. Spread was, at least when I saw the spread, which was about an hour before tip, it was 25.5. So, great job, Vegas.
Good news, they covered at the end. And by the end, I mean like in the first 5 minutes of the second half.
That, and I mean, we got treated to, when the game was out of reach, we got treated to some dunks. Two of which for Jordan Bell, in my memory, were called traveling, so they didn't really count. But, man, they look cool.
Yeah. And the walk-ons got a three.
I always love that. If you can put the walk-ons on and to see how the bench reacted, I mean, you would have thought it was a buzzer beater. It was great. So that was fun. Really, really difficult month coming up, though. We were just looking at this before we started recording, and this upcoming week, luckily it's in Eugene because this road trip always scares me, but we have Cal and Stanford in Eugene. Then we take the hard road trip of Utah, Colorado, which, you know, luckily those teams are both kind of down this year, but that's still a hard road trip with all the travel. Then the Arizona schools come to Eugene on February 2nd and 4th. and then we go to LA and play UCLA and USC for that rematch of just a ridiculous game when we played UCLA. I still can't believe we won that game with giving up a 17-0 run and beating the number two team in the country. It's still insane to me. So that rematch should be fun. And I believe, that's an ESPN game. So we're getting a lot of national TV love, by the way, in this next month. We got Cal on Thursdays on ESPN2. And then back-to-back, we go Arizona and UCLA, both on ESPN. Not even the Ocho.
What was a better three? Dylan Brooks against UCLA or Dylan Brooks against Duke?
Dylan Brooks against UCLA. Now, granted, it was not in the NCAA tournament, but Dylan Brooks against UCLA won the game. Whereas, if I'm remembering right, and I think I am, Dylan Brooks against Duke just was really the icing on the cake that made Coach K lose his mind, which is always fun. I mean, that's nice, but I'd rather take a game-winning shot over just something that ices it.
The Brooks shot against Duke might have not won the game, but it won my heart. I love seeing Coach K, like, talk to him about it and then lie to the journalists when they asked what they were talking about and for him to get caught in it later. That was really funny to me.
And then, even better, is him, you know, lecturing Dylan Brooks about how to play the game. And then this year he has Grayson Allen on his team. So, yeah.
That kid is an absolute mess. So Boucher has been back, though. He's a blocker. Jordan Bell had a triple-double against Washington, I think.
Are we the deepest team in the country?
I have no idea. I don't watch enough college basketball. But the answer is yes. The answer is yes.
I mean, I think the answer is probably no. But I think we're definitely the deepest team in the Pac-12. You look at a couple of the other schools. I mean, obviously Kentucky. North Carolina has had injury problems, so I think we're more deep than them. Kind of the same thing with Duke. Kansas is pretty deep. But if we can have our name among those kind of schools in terms of depth, I think we're doing okay.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question that came up in the comments over the weekend. Is it possible for Dana Altman to get hired away to a different school? Do you think it's likely?
Possible, yes. Likely, no. I think he's done a wonderful job building our program back up from some really, really dark days. He's just starting to get the recruiting pipeline that's filling up. Of note, and this was, I think this came out yesterday, and we're recording this on Monday night, Troy Brown, incoming five-star, was named a McDonald's All-American. So, man, Dana has done a really good job. Now he doesn't need to use the JUCOs as much like when he did when he first got here. And I don't see him leaving for virtually any other job. I mean, if you look at his history, he spent a ton of years at Creighton. And he's, like I said, he's just starting to get his recruiting pipeline up. and really flowing at Oregon. You know, I don't see a reason why you would take another job unless it was something ridiculous, you know, like a Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina type thing. But I don't really see any of those jobs coming open anytime soon.
Yeah, it's got to be crazy. I mean, it's got to be a crazy amount of money, because here's what I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand. So how much is he making now? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Okay, let's just say it's $2 million.
That is a lot of money.
Is it a lot of money?
Per year?
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of money.
Okay, well, we're about to find out. $2 million a year.
All right. Shows what I know.
Yep. Oh, after bonuses and incentives, from a base salary of 1.8.
And that's why Rusty is a good gambler.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just watching a few player tweets come across. Is Kansas or Duke or North Carolina really going to throw so much money at him that he leaves a spot where he knows he can win? Like, here's the situation. He's pulling in top recruits. He's gotten a number one seed. He's won conference championships. And it's really inexpensive to live in Eugene. Like, and he has a super secure job. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, I don't think people are banging down the doors for, like, after, like, a few losses during the year. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, yeah, people say, like, the best
thing
college.
About his, that's the nice thing about his situation is people care so much more about football at Oregon, where, you know, granted, we were top five preseason polls. I think if we didn't make the NCAA tournament, you know, people would be upset, but it's not going to be a Helfrich situation. I mean, he, especially with the work that he's done thus far, if he had a down year, which let's hope he doesn't, but if he did, I think he has enough equity built up where his job is way more secure than other coaches at peer institutions.
Yeah, and it's just one of the one of the more ongoing jokes about college basketball is that the best coaching gig in the country is Texas, because they pay money, you're in a recruiting spot, and nobody cares, because Texas football is king. Like, you can have, like, a couple bad years and nobody notices.
And you really don't have that many expectations, because Kansas has won the Big 12 12 years in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
12 years in a row, something like that. So, yeah, you know, that'd be a pretty good job. But I tell you what, if the Ducks have a 10-game series against Texas – I bet on us, and I bet we win 8.5 of them. That would be my spread.
Yeah, and so I just don't see there is a value to having an insane amount of job security, like Altman does at Oregon, because, you know, after the loss to Baylor and the loss to, like, Georgetown, people weren't, like, jumping down at him, like, saying that he doesn't have it in him, Paul.
Just couldn't fit those tight windows.
Nope. And, you know, there's, I think there really is something to be said in today's college sports for having a lot of job security. Because, you know, everybody after Helfrich was fired, you know, everybody every sports writer was saying, no one, every coach should be worried because now nobody is safe. So, which I think I got to a little bit too early because that would be a perfect segue. But it's so far, like Chris, having Chris Boucher back in the lineup regularly is huge. Dylan Brooks, after the slow start, after like dealing with the injury, is now playing extremely well. Jordan Bell is fantastic. I love Jordan Bell. I know you love Jordan Bell more than I love Jordan Bell.
Jordan Bell is wonderful. You know, actually, what I've been impressed of most these past 3-4 games, and this is purely anecdotal. I don't have the stats for those last 4 games to mess up. But Dylan Addis has been shooting the 3-ball very well. And if his shooting is off, we're going to be a problem. Because at point, let's say we have a 5 out there of this, Dorsey, Bell, Brooks, and Boucher. The only guy that you can leave off the 3-point line at that point is Bell. Because even Boucher can stroke the 3. We've seen that all the time. If Ennis is hitting the 3 consistently, that gives us so much room on the interior where Bell can just go to work. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah. So I pulled up his stats. Against USC, he shot 50% from 3. Against Washington, he shot 50% from 3. Against Washington State, he shot 66.6% from 3. And against Oregon State, he shot 60%.
So the anecdote doesn't lie. Now, obviously, that's not sustainable. But, I mean, if he can shoot 44% from 3, that's significant. I mean, at that point, you need to game plan around that if you're a defense. And you didn't know that he's a shooter. So, I mean, it's just another weapon. He's already been really good in terms of driving the ball and kicking out. He's been a very good playmaker. But if it adds that 3-point shooting regular base, this is going to be dangerous.
Yeah. All right. Good transition. Dangerous. There was an off-season workout that happened that made a bunch of news. People ended up in the hospital.
People are upset.
So three players landed in the hospital. It was Brenner, who's an offensive lineman. Who's the second one? And there was a third. The third was a freshman tight end who's off his redshirt here.
Sam Patassi.
Who was the other guy? It was another guy who weighed over 300 pounds.
Yeah, it was Sam Patassi.
Who was the tight end then?
Let me look it up.
We did a lot of prep. Actually, we did text about this during the day. We just didn't have any of this stuff pulled up.
Yeah, so offensive lineman Doug Brenner, tight end Cam McCormick, and offensive lineman Sam Patassi.
Awesome.
And they are all in fair condition at peace there. So what's your initial reaction to this?
My initial reaction was that's a really bad start when, like, granted that wasn't, like, Taggart wasn't there, but for, like, the first, like, we saw people tweet on, like, players tweet that they have, like, never been more sore before. Hyperbole, things are really tough. And then, like, this is the first time we ever heard anything, like, really come out of it. And it's like, wow, that sounds like a terrible idea. That sounds awful. So the reports are that there was, like, an hour-long workout that consisted of continuous push-ups and sit-ups. as part of a military type training program. Three people, the guys we should know, were ended up in the hospital because of a muscle injury. I'm not going to act like I'm a doctor or like I even went to WebMD, but it's basically a muscle injury that like a ton, not a ton, that we've seen before in the past of teams have it, where it's like there were three volleyball players who had it. There was like an Iowa State wrestling team had it, and it was like 12 of them. Basically, it happens as a result of like a lot of stress, like a lot, where the muscles like will tear and some like fluid from the muscle gets into the bloodstream, and it's not.
Yeah. So what they had is short term is rhabdo, and it's a really big problem actually in, from what I've heard, in the CrossFit community, and what.
Shocking.
Yeah, what, not a surprise. So basically, when it happens in the CrossFit community and in general, it's really just when you push your muscles like way beyond limits that they should not be pushed. And in combination with that, the intensity is like way a huge step up from what you've done before. Now, a lot of that also has to do with if you are doing a lot of work really intensely and not having good technique. So my first reaction to the report was, number one, where is our Gatorade sponsorship? Come on, guys. Like, let's stay hydrated a little bit, you know, just take a water break. It's okay. Oh,
yeah.
That's a little joke. But more seriously, I understand that the coaching staff cannot be there during these workouts. But the strength and conditioning staff certainly can. And
at this point, strength and conditioning staffs are an extension of the football staff.
Exactly. And you know, it's their responsibility to monitor these student athletes to where they're not injuring themselves, because at this point it's just counterproductive. I mean, you could go really hard in one workout, but if you end up in the hospital for the next week, then you're not getting better. And it's really just not a situation that you want to be put in. I mean, I'm sure we don't want to be the next situation like the situation with Cal a couple years ago, where one of their offensive linemen, you know, collapsed on the field. That's something that you never want to see. I'm all for pushing yourself hard, and I know that workouts affect other people differently. I mean, I'm sure for, like, Ugo tweeted out that it was no big deal. Well, he's like a lean 190.
Yeah.
And these guys that we're talking about are, you know, what, 290, 300?
Yeah, it was like 300, 300, and then McCormick is like 240.
Yeah, so I mean, it's. I guess my first reaction was just, you know, what was the strength and conditioning staff doing in terms of monitoring these guys? And it's actually interesting that this came out today, because on Saturday I was talking to somebody I know who worked at USF. When Taggart was there, when Coach O, the new strength and conditioning coach, was there. And she said the same thing, that during her time there, there were some complaints from, you know, the players about, oh, like he's pushing us too hard and guys getting like minorly injured, which, you know, granted, it's hard to tell on that. I mean, players are always going to complain about like, oh, my workout is so hard. I just thought that was interesting that I just heard that from her on Saturday, and then this comes out.
Yeah. Sorry, we're having an issue with my mic, which is why you're hearing bangs for anybody who's listening to this podcast later.
But yeah, I mean, it's luckily it sounds like the players are fine. You know, they'll spend a little time in the hospital, probably get pumped up with fluids, and hopefully it's nothing major, because as all of the reports have been sure to notice, if left untreated, it can be a really serious situation.
Yeah, and it's tough because they leave, because when you leave practice, according to medical reports, I'm not a doctor, I haven't had this issue, it just feels like your muscles are incredibly sore. And then apparently it becomes an obvious problem a little bit later. So sounds like they caught it early. So it's kind of difficult to to pick it up like during the workout if someone is like actually has like a problem. But I'm kind of on your side too, where it's kind of like people are going to the hospital as a result of workouts. Like, I don't know. Probably need to have like a better measurement of where people are at before we can have them do like these like crazy workouts or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, luckily everybody's fine. At least it seems like it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, one thing that we do know is the team's going to be in shape. There's not going to be any sort of this like half-assing it in the weight room based on early returns.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it was funny too, because we were talking about this, like you brought up Ugo, who was like, it's not a big deal, not with the media, like painted it out to be or whatever. And then McNeil, who's a freshman defensive back, is like, we do this stuff like that all the time. And like, I forget where it's from. He said it, he's from California.
He's from Florida.
Okay. He's like, we do that all the time in Florida. And then what's the guy's name? The 350 pounder out of high school.
Oh,
Fat Mac 34, Jordan Scott.
Yeah, I was gonna say it starts with a J, but
and he goes, so Real Deal McNeil.
The best Twitter name.
Yeah, Real Deal McNeil. Here's Darren McNeil, the defensive back. With people getting upset with the workouts out in Oregon, man, that's how we work at my high school. Hashtag Armwood. We work hard. Hard work springs. Hashtag natty. People are still using natty. That bugs me. I never liked that. We're still saying that. And then Jordan Scott, the 350-pound defensive back who's already on campus. You can find him at @fat_mac34.
By the way, I'm really happy that you just slipped up and called him a 350-pound defensive back.
Oh,
because I really want to see him as a safety now, just for one play.
He said, it's just a little work, IG, as in I guess, they don't get down how we do in Florida. And then that emoji that looks like someone's, that looks like a bull, like blowing smoke out of his nose. So, nice of the freshman to just like throw the other guy under the bus. Like, oh, we're just in much better shape than all the seniors. And then this is the tweet that I came across, that just came across my feed as of the time of recording. Tweeted by Spencer Pacinger. If you're not hospitalized by off-season workouts, you're not doing it right. Hashtag, we want Bama.
Just, Spencer. Stop, Spencer. Come on now. Yeah, so that was the big news of today, and based on early returns from the players, it really, you know, seems to be more like just a big headline and not that big of a deal. Now, when somebody goes to the hospital, I'm sure at some point it is a big deal, but, you know, I mean, luckily everybody's all right. We can move forward. And hopefully have a really well-conditioned team.
Yeah, especially after, I think, well, this also came out a week after that one report by Oregon Live came out that was, like, talking about the fall of, like, the Oregon football program. And at that point, it was kind of like, even I was kind of like, yeah, all right, it was probably time for a coaching change, maybe. Although Greatwood comes off as a baller, just pulling kids out of Taylor's. That's something Ed Orgeron would do.
If there was going to be one coach on staff that would do that, I was going to guess either Greatwood or Rad. One of the two.
Rad would be fantastic.
Rad would be terrifying.
Yeah.
That guy, I don't know if any of you have ever seen Coach Rad in person, but he's a tiny strength and conditioning coach. And those are the guys that you do not want to mess with.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee, I bet Coach Rad has not had a donut in like 60 years.
Yeah. Well, there's that one story that came out after they hired Taggart, and it was going to be like, do they keep Radcliffe or is Taggart going to bring his own guy? He brought his own guy. But people started tweeting out pictures of Radcliffe. And there was a story that came out where a linebacker was struggling. An Oregon linebacker, this is like, I don't know, this was a few years ago. Oregon linebacker was struggling power cleaning a lot of weight. And so Radcliffe goes over to critique his technique and then power cleans the weight easily.
It's all about technique, man. Get that leverage.
Yeah, and God, he is just as he doesn't look that big. Like, he looks small, but then you actually see him like move around. It's like, oh my God, this guy's actually like crazy athletic.
He's a Terminator.
Yeah. But basically, my whole thing after that article came out of Oregon Live is like, okay, yeah, things are needed for a change. But I really wish people could just like move on from like just bashing the former coaches and like Helfrich especially. It's like, okay, A, he takes to a national championship. B, I'm tired of trying to defend him. C, I don't know how you guys are feeling any better about just like complaining about Helfrich all the time.
I mean,
I get it because like the program looks like it fell apart in like 3 years. I guess it kind of did. In a way, not entirely, but in some ways, yes. But it's kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of like, these guys have been around for 25 years and people are just like throwing them under the bus now. So I don't know. That just bugs me. Personally.
Yeah. I mean, we're at the point where the new coaching staff is installed and it's just time to move forward. You know, like, nobody's looking good when you have like players or whoever just throwing Coach Helfrich and the staff that was there under the bus. And I thought that article was really well reported, well written. I'm talking about the one from the Oregonian. And you're right. I mean, it did shed some light on more depth of why there needed to be coaching change. So I thought that article was totally fine.
Yeah, I did too.
But we have a new staff. It's time to move forward in the new staff and enjoy all of the energy that they're putting out. I mean, if nothing else, their Twitter game is on point. So we're doing okay.
All right. So that's a good time for this game I want to play with you right now, which is we just spoke about how Twitter is like this huge thing for this coaching staff. So we're going to play a game called Coach Taggart or the Illuminati.
I am ready.
So there's a, obviously Coach Willie Taggart has at Coach Taggart as his as his Twitter handle, and then the Illuminati, the super secret organization that owns the world, is at Illuminati in all caps. So I'm going to read off a few tweets, and I want you to tell me if it's Coach Taggart or if it's the Illuminati. All right, let me find a good one here. Let me see. Let me find a good one. I had a bunch of good ones here. I just moved off. Be good enough to forgive someone, but don't be stupid enough to trust them again.
This is Coach Taggart.
That's Coach Taggart. That is Coach Taggart.
See, I think I'm going to be pretty good at this. I've been following along. Him, Coach Pimp, I've been following.
Okay, maybe I need to pull up a different one then, a different coach. They all retweet each other. They all retweet each other, so it's really easy to get around.
Yeah, keep going. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Don't put the key to your happiness in someone else's pocket.
Ooh. I'm going to guess Illuminati.
It's Coach Taggart.
Damn it.
All right. Next one. Never give up on something you really want.
I'm going to guess Illuminati.
That's Illuminati.
Yes.
That's Illuminati.
I was starting to think that it was going to be like one of those tests where it's all C.
Yeah.
And it just plays mind games with you.
Yeah. Let's see another one here. Okay. If someone does not smile at you, be generous and offer your own smile. Nobody needs more smile than the one that cannot smile to others.
That's Coach Taggart.
It is Coach Taggart. Okay, awesome. All right. Let me go to another coaches, because apparently you're too familiar with this. This that, guy has been...
That Coach Taggart wasn't talking about smiling and he got blocked, but I guess it's Herbert.
Oh, yeah. Justin Herbert just throwing down. All right. All right. Let me see here. All right. Let me feel. There is no failure, only a process which is leading us to become the greatest version of ourselves.
That sounds like Illuminati.
That is Illuminati.
I was going to say, that sounds very lizard people.
Very lizard people. All right. Some of these coaches are just so funny. Like, phone is already buzzing. Great day to be a duck. Oh, also, I'm really glad that we finally have repurposed the term duck hunting.
We've taken it back.
Yeah, so, but I'm sure people are still going to do it on, like, college game day.
Oh, of course they are.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have the Super Nintendo sign. Like, check it out, we're going duck hunting. Yeah, you're super original.
All right.
So what you really should finish this segment off with is a tweet that ends with, need an ice cold Pepsi.
All right, let me see here. We'll just do a few more. All right. Do not chase people. Work hard and be you. The right people who belong in your life will come and find you and stay. Do your thing.
Gonna say I'll make the do your thing maybe change my mind. I'm betting Coach Taggart.
That's Illuminati.
Damn it. They're playing mind games with me.
I know. All right. Here we go. All right. Life offers you an endless amount of possibilities. Don't settle for a crappy job, crappy
Taggart.
Friends. Okay, dig it.
I'll tell you, I'm on my Twitter game.
Okay, all right. I didn't change, I grew up. There's a difference.
Ooh. Jennifer Lopez.
No.
Illuminati.
No, that's Taggart.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. I'm going to pull up this one.
So basically what you're saying with that game is...
They're the same person.
Coach Taggart is
far more adept at social media than what we're used to. Yeah. B, Coach Taggart runs Hollywood and the banks.
Yes. All right. I've got one more for you, but it's not going to be a tweet. It's going to be an audio form.
Ooh.
Ready?
Okay. I mean, Coach Taggart tweeted it.
Yeah, that's Coach Taggart. That is Coach Taggart.
He didn't tweet the audio format.
No, but I mean, a visual doesn't really work well in an audio podcast. So,
fair enough. You also could have done the DMX, "You Think It's a Game."
Oh, well, he tagged Lucci in it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and I posted the video because some people were like, oh, what's that from? Oh, it's from this guy's record label. And of course, I put up Rich Homie Quan's Type of Way was not popular among the ATQers, which is not surprising in the least. So,
ATQers have a diverse array of interests, man.
Well, it actually opened up a great conversation on Future and Purple Rain. I forget who it was, but there were actually a couple real hippity-hoppity heads. One specifically called out, they're from Houston and been listening to Chop and Screw music for a long time. And no, I don't remember anybody inputs. That was like last week.
Side note, Future is the pettyweight champion of the world right now because he showed up to the playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks. Presumably talk trash to his baby mama's current husband. And then today sent his son an Atlanta Falcons jersey. Petty champion of the world.
That's fantastic.
It's wonderful.
That is fantastic.
Great. You do you, Future. Just keep doing you.
Thank you, Magic City.
Go to Magic City. Sip on that perp.
Have some chicken wings.
Keep wearing those Gucci flip-flops.
I did not like that mixtape, like, at all. Okay, so next question. I think we went way over budget on how much it initially reported we were going to be spending on assistant coaches. Somebody opened maybe up the coffer. So somebody who probably started a apparel-based company in Beaverton probably paid a lot of money for this coaching staff.
I mean, maybe, but considering Darren Revelle's report that he was willing to pay $10 million a year for just a head coach, I would say we're under budget.
Well, Darren Revelle doesn't know shit, excuse me. That's how strongly I feel about him. And yeah, so he's not right on most things, and he's really just a really boring tweeter to begin with. Thanks, I really needed to know how much the Milwaukee Brewers are charging for a hot dog. So I'm sure Phil Knight paid for the buyout if he really wanted it. And I'm sure if we're like, hey, we can get the Alabama offensive line coach, be like, yeah, I'll throw down another $550,000.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point,
Why not?
The point where we just have the staff and you just don't ask questions. It's like if you go to certain types of car dealerships and you have to ask the price, that means you can't afford it. So just don't ask.
Yeah.
Just enjoy what certain boosters have assembled for us and just say thank you. That's all.
Yeah,
but I have no idea what the total salary is for the coaching staff right now. I have to imagine that it's high. If I remember correctly, I think our previous assistant coaching staff was one of the lower paid in the Pac-12, if I'm remembering correctly on the whole. So
we've been saving up.
What's that?
We've been saving up.
Yeah, So, you know, we've been saving our pennies, and now we want to splurge on a bunch of really big guys. Alabama O-line, a strength and conditioning coach that looks like a Mack truck, you know, same thing.
Yeah. And so it's the – my two favorite hires – okay, my favorite hire is Leavitt. Leave it, except for the whole thing where he like punched a player and then convinced other people to recant their and retell their stories and lie about it. And then he lied about doing that. And then he got fired.
You're really making your favorite hire sound awful.
Well, I mean, I'm just really throwing that caveat in there. Like, I'm not just all like sunshine and rainbows about this whole thing. So I'm just going to be really upfront with this whole thing. My role on ATQ like, the last couple weeks has been to just like, tap the brakes on the hype train every once in a while. So, although it's really tough, like the hype machine's in full force, and at some point I'm just getting dragged along because it's just too much. Because the two actually exciting hires for me is the defensive line coach from Washington State.
Oh.
I have loved him for a couple years now. It was last year when I realized, like, wow, Washington's defensive front, or Washington State's defensive front, is not messing around. And we bid out UW and USC for him. Which means we threw down. Apparently he's getting $525,000 and Cristobal is getting $525,000. Cristobal is my other favorite hire. Because there are two places in the world where you can find 300 pounders who can run. I've said this on the podcast before.
300-pound 18-year-olds.
300-pound 18-year-olds who can run. One, the South. And, like, I feel like it's parts of the South, too, where it's, like, a small high school that's off the beaten path, and there's just a Goliath. So those guys. And Cristobal's got those guys covered. He's voted, like, the top recruiter, like, by 24/7 or Scout or whatever goofy recruiting ranking service that cares a lot about 17-year-olds puts out. And then the other place is the Pacific.
And the defense, so we got covered.
Yeah, the defensive line coach from Washington State, whose name I'm terrified of pronouncing, he's got that one covered. Because he was getting people who live in 75 degrees and sunny every day to go to Pullman.
That's a tough sell.
Yeah. If you told me I could, that I would literally be paid to live in Pullman, I honestly don't think I would do it.
I mean, the Palouse is nice.
I don't think I could do it.
The real question is, how much fireball would they give you?
That is the real question.
Yeah. I guess going back to the main point, right now, I'm thrilled with the coaching staff. And you're right. I'm trying to, like, kind of put the pump the brakes on this whole thing because they are taking over a team that, in Coach Taggart's words, is a rebuilding job.
Which, from him, his perspective, setting expectations is true.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't think anybody thinks that we're going to go 12-0 next year. I certainly don't think that. I think a successful season.
I think we do.
Oh, okay. I think a successful season in my mind is going, you know, like anywhere from 7 to 9 wins and showing market improvement in, well, number one is just playing hard because we started to see that certainly in the younger guys that were playing towards the end of the year. But I remember two players in particular during the UW game just not running and not finishing out plays.
Yeah, we so, never saw them the rest of the season.
Yeah, which never. Was well. But, I mean, to me, I think a successful season for the 2017 season is anywhere from 7 to 9 wins, full effort, and strong recruiting classes. That's kind of really where I see a successful season, and then you just build on that. So I don't think anybody should be under the impression that, you know, oh, we got Coach Taggart and all these really high name coaches, and so we're going to just win the Pac-12 again. You know, it doesn't just necessarily work like that.
What?
It'd be great.
If only. So
really, all I want next year is 7-9 wins and go to Seattle and beat the hell out of Washington.
If that's we beat Washington next year, psh, problem solved. Problem solved in my book.
Everything's great.
Yeah. I just think that there's a couple advantages that this team has coming back. One is the team last year was incredibly young. I think we're going to miss like 4 to 5 people off the – no, I think we're going to lose 6 off of the offensive 2 deep. And we're only going to be missing like 2 starters, Farrell Brown and who's the guy the guy that got a lot of penalties. Not gonna call him that. And then
everybody knows.
we all know who we're talking about. And then on defense we're gonna be missing like 4. And the defensive front 7, I don't think it's not a huge factor because the defense was so terrible, but there were so many injuries in the front 7. Like, there were so many. Like,
yeah, it was bad.
There were times where I think it was – who was it? I think it was against, like, Utah. There were only, like, 5 guys in the 2 deep that started the year on the 2 deep. It was something like that where it was just insane amount of turnover. Like on a day, on a game by game basis.
Well, that's what we got that new strength and conditioning coach for.
Yep. Yeah. So I think just in terms of injury, I think turnovers, like being negative in the turnover column, is there's always a regression to the mean in that, and just all the experience coming back. 6-6. People are going to be all like sassy and write like smart ass comments, but I think 6-6 was going to happen next year regardless. So I think 7-5 is like a good like base level expectation. I'll be fine with 6-6. I'll honestly be fine.
Okay. So let's one last thing before we leave.
Yeah.
We just talked about what would be a successful season for football, and we didn't talk about it for basketball.
God damn, man.
So, what's your successful season for basketball for this season?
Win the Pac-12.
And do what in the NCAA tournament?
Elite 8.
I think that's fair. I think, to me, it would be win the Pac-12, both regular season and tournament, get a top 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, which I think, you know, at that point we're top 12 in the country. I think that's certainly doable at this point. And I'm thinking Elite 8 too. I mean, at that point, if you get to the Elite 8, anything can happen. You know, I'm pretty much right there with you. I think this team, basketball wise, has the depth, has the talent, has the athleticism, and the shooting to be able to play with anybody.
Yeah, I mean, what stands out so much is I don't think like last year Dylan Brooks was the one guy that showed up every single game, and you know you could get 1 to 2 other guys to like have really good games that would bring out the win. And it's just, I think there are just so many players. I think it's a similar thing this year. Like, we don't have Snoop Dogg or Cook. But it's, I feel like there's just, everyone has gotten better. So it's not necessarily like we're relying on like a couple people that have big games. Like, Brooks is doing a lot. But then everybody else is kind of raising their game as a whole also.
Yeah, and you know the losses of of Cook. You really saw that at the start of the year in terms of our defense was not up to par. We're starting to get back to the point where they're playing very good, aggressive defense. And hopefully that trajectory just continues. I mean, I don't really see why it wouldn't. We have two of the best shot blockers in the country. Peyton Pritchard, who, you know, when you're a point guard, you're the leader of a defense. He's just a freshman, so he's going to be growing into that defensive floor general role. We could always bring Casey Benson in, and he doesn't ever make a mistake, basically. So,
yeah.
When I look at the team, they have a really good mix of youth while also having some veteran leadership in Brooks and Benson and Bell to be able to take the rigors of an NCAA tournament and deal with it. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for both seasons. Basketball, both in different ways. Football, because there's hope. Second, basketball, because they're like really good and like really fun to watch. So it's gonna be great, especially with the teams coming to town this weekend. You get the Bay Area teams. Tough month ahead, like we already outlined. Any closing thoughts?
I think you pretty much wrapped it up. I'm really just looking forward to basketball and spring game jerseys.
Yep, spring game jerseys.
Spring most game important jerseys. Thing of all.
Yep. All right, well, that'll do it. I'm Rusty, joined again by the usual guest, now co-host, basically. And we'll see you guys next week.